This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by NVIDIA, the inventor of the GPU. NVIDIA's Tesla GPUs are designed to accelerate HPC applications. Learn more by visiting NVIDIA at SC11. www.nvidia.com/SC11.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry, with Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
Blue Waters 2.0
and Chip Wars at SC11.
Hello and welcome to our first special edition of Soundbite for Supercomputing 2011. I'm here in Seattle with my cohort, Addison Snell of Intersect 360 Research, and we're recording live on Tuesday, November 15th.
Hey, thanks, Michael. This is fun. We're halfway through the show. You exhausted yet, or what? We're going to make it to the end?
I don't know. It seems like we've been here a week in these first 2 days, and yeah, it seems like it's barely begun, but we've got a lot of news to cover.
I'll tell you what, I love supercomputing. I just love it. We're having a huge, busy day today. We got more to do tonight, but I'm glad we found time for the Soundbite podcast. As you were just saying, we've got a lot of news. Let's start with the big one. You and I both immediately went to what the big news was.
Yeah, Blue Waters. This was announced on Monday, even basically right before the show started, and it broke kind of late, and we reported on it first thing. So Blue Waters, everybody knows, has been in a lot of trouble lately. IBM pulled out in August, sort of abruptly. So Blue Waters was without a supercomputer, and the NCSA and NSF and the partners rapidly were looking for a vendor to fill that void and to hit their mark to put up a Blue Waters 10 petaflop or 1 petaflop sustained supercomputer by the end of 2012.
And we have a winner.
And we have a winner, and it is Cray.
Hey!
Yay, Cray.
Hey, good job, Cray.
And I think there were four other bidders. We don't know who they were, but I think the usual suspects, but Cray took it. And it's basically a CPU-GPU machine using some of their new XK6 GPU architecture, but mostly CPUs.
Mostly CPUs and mostly the new AMD Interlagos CPUs.
Right, the new Interlagos CPUs. And the GPUs they're going to use are not yet out yet. Those are going to be the Kepler GPUs that NVIDIA is going to put out next year, and those are going to go in kind of late. But the whole thing's supposed to be up and running by this time next year.
Yeah, well, so together with some of the other big supers that we've been mentioning in the U.S. earlier this year, the Titan system at Oak Ridge, the Stampede system at TAC, I got to look at the calendar to be sure, but I think these all come up pretty close to one another, maybe within a six-month span. Right?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I think these multi-petaflop or these double-digit petaflop systems are all going to come clump together towards the end of 2012, the beginning of 2013, along with, you know, we can mention Sequoia and Mira, the BlueJeans systems that are coming online in 2012. They might come a little bit earlier, but yeah, these big 10 to 20 petaflop machines are all of a sudden going to be here, and we're going to be talking about them a lot, obviously.
Well, I know we visited with Cray. You visited with Cray. I visited with Cray, and it seems like everyone over there is pretty happy about this news.
They are ecstatic. I mean, they're going to get $188 million out of this contract over 5 years, but I think a lot of it's coming next year. And in fact, this was such a good win. They gave new guidance for 2012. This is a big chunk of change for a company like that. And you know, they're very happy. They're looking to meet their 2012 revenue now.
Now this is system that IBM gave the walk away to. I mean, they
right.
had it, and IBM saying, "Not this isn't profitable. We're out." Cray saying, "We're in," and they're loving it.
They're loving it, right? They and we talked with Peter Ngaro and Tom Dunning over there at NCSA, and they seem very happy with each other. And there's no termination clause in this contract, I understand.
I think it's going forward this time, right?
It's a lock. It's going forward unless the world ends. So we'll look for that next year in the fall. And
and the other thing I was noticing, since I was mentioning those other systems we've covered recently on the podcast, the three most recent big announcements were Stampede, Titan, and now the Blue Waters extension. Two of those, one by Cray, one of them by Dell.
Right.
None by IBM or HP out of those three.
Yeah, those big systems. Yeah, I mean, Dell's sort of the outlier there. That's their first really petascale machine. But yeah, Cray's doing very well in that space, and IBM is sort of falling away from that. And IBM does have the two BlueJeans machines coming out, so they've certainly represented there. But HP is sort of not in there right now, so we'll see what happens with them.
But keeping the Blue Water's name, is that a little bit of a dig at Big Blue? Is that a neener, neener, neener going on there?
You know, funny, I asked them that. I said, well, did you want to change your name or change the name of the project? And they said, well, we talked about that, but for the time being, you know, they're going to keep the stationery the same and the website. It's like, they'll just still stick with it for a while, and you know, it'll probably stick. It's like, it's a big change. They've been going this way for 4 years, basically, and it's a hard thing to change it. So that'll go forward, I think.
Well, you know, we're talking about these Interlagos processors and the Kepler GPUs. Let's take a quick break and talk about what I'm seeing as one of the biggest trends in the show so far.
Accelerate your HPC application with NVIDIA Tesla GPUs. As a companion processor to the CPU, Tesla GPUs are designed from the ground up for HPC and deliver industry-leading performance per watt. To learn how Tesla GPUs can accelerate science and engineering, visit NVIDIA at SC11. www.nvidia.com/SC11.
Yeah, let's come back. You were just talking, there's been a lot of talk about chips, and sure enough, I mean, we were just talking about the chips involved in those big systems, but there's a lot other news, too, about a lot of other chips.
Yeah, you know, one thing people tend to ask us as analysts is what's hot that we're seeing at the show. And there are a couple of things that we could pick. But, you know, if there's one that's overarching right now, it seems like there's a lot of chip news going on.
A lot of architectures. I mean, we can go down the list. So we've got, you know, Interlagos, the new Xeon E5. So those are the new x86 chips.
Right, but then Intel debuted the Knight's Corner today. Right. They had an early access one with a special launch. They're showing the Knight's Corner chip.
The many-core chip, right? They were demoing the pre-commercial version of Knight's Corner.
We were just talking about NVIDIA, and they're still in there with a lot of GPU announcements.
Right. No new chip products for them, but they're looking forward to Kepler, and they're talking a little bit about that.
Well, down at the lower end, they do have a new Maximus line.
Right, the new Maximus line.
Workstation. So right. That's in here, too, just because it's not a super computer, and NVIDIA's got a nice product there.
Right, there where they're integrating Tesla and Quadro in a workstation, sort of making a mini supercomputer on a workstation, which is an interesting idea, and doing you know, sort of the visualization and the design in one platform.
We talked about AMD's Fusion product with the Sandia installation previously, so they're still in there talking about that one.
Right, and then of course, you know, we'll talk about the top 500 later, but the new the Spark 9FX chips in the new commercial version of Fujitsu.
Number one supercomputer's not even using any of the above. We still got Spark chips in that one.
Right. And then they officially launched BlueJean with the BlueJean Q chip.
Power line. There's IBM Power.
And then we both talked to Texas Instruments recently. I talked to them earlier this fall, but we talked to them also at the show here, and they've officially launched their DSP chip.
Yeah, their floating point DSP, jumping into a supercomputer with both feet.
For HPC, yeah. I mean, they put floating point into it, and they said, hey, this thing is you know, as performant as a GPU and more performant than performant per watt. And now they're generating some software ecosystem around it, and they're jumping into the fray.
So we're not going to dissect each one of these in turn. We have a two-day-long podcast. We got to get back to work. But we've talked about most of these in terms of how they've been launching in the past. But what that says to me is, if you're a buyer in the HPC space, you know, we didn't even mention ARM.
Right.
ARM is part of this discussion. We've got all these chip architectures now that are suddenly in play, and we, you know, everything's been pretty much an x86.
Right.
Only world, you know, there obviously power's been in there. You know, we had Spark and some other RISC chips, but we've had all this x86 dominance, and now it really feels like there's a lot of different chip architectures in play.
Yeah, there are. And you mentioned ARM, that there's no products here about that, but people are starting to talk about that. And I think if we came back next year and the year after that, we are going to see some interesting developments there. So, yeah, I agree. There's a lot of architectures out there. People are thinking, you know, about different architectures now because of the push to exascale, about power efficiency has become very important, and looking at sort of the traditional CPUs is sort of a dead end for that type of power efficiency. So I think this is sort of a Cambrian explosion of architectures that we're going to be experiencing.
Well, do you have any favorites out of this field here? We got a 14-horse race here. You got to handicap the field. What looks good?
Well, I mean, I think we... as far as like for volume, like I don't think the Spark 64 line is going to be a volume chip in any case, and even not the BlueJean line. That's
right.
Those aren't going to be volume answers. So I think you're either looking at one of the GPU lines or the mic line, which is really an x86 line. That's right. The many-core x86, so that might survive there.
I think in the long term, it's really hard to bet against Intel. And, you know, the fact that they're building mic on an x86 platform with Intel tools, NVIDIA's got a lot of penetration into the GPU market so far, but people are looking hard at that mic architecture, and that's going to be tough to compete with.
I think so, too. I think it, to a certain extent, it's going to come down to performance, but not so much. If they're on parity with performance, and one is perceived as having an easier programming model,
and you can use the Intel compiler and just go.
Now we should say that this week, NVIDIA and some of their partners, Cray and PGI, sort of announced this Open Act Directives software, which is sort of an Open MP type directives thing that does make it platform independent. So if Open MP adopts this, and I think that's the intention, you will be able to make code that will switch from platform to platform, and it's very Open MP like. So it's sort of in the model of what a lot of these legacy codes are in, but there will be some code development to do that. So that's a little more attractive model for platform independence than, say, CUDA or some of these others. So
right.
I think they know that's an issue, and so this directives, if they're successful, I think that'll get them a little more traction with certain parts of the community. But yeah, it's hard to bet against Intel and their compilers.
But for the time being, what we're seeing is the chip area is going crazy. There's just a lot of options.
Yeah, and I think we're going to continue to see that.
I think that's one of the big trends of the show already, at halftime.
Yep, I agree.
All right, well, let's take one more quick break. And then, of course, we've got to cover Top 500, which went live on Monday. So we'll take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about that.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite has been sponsored by NVIDIA Tesla GPUs. Visit NVIDIA at SC11. www.nvidia.com/SC11.
Michael, you got the top 500 news for us. What's new in the top 500?
You know, not too much. The top 10 systems from June are the same top 10 systems in November, which is it's amazing. That's the first time it's happened since they started this list.
Yeah, we don't cover top 500 that much as analysts, but, you know, it occurred to me as I was walking over here, we were to record the podcast, I'm thinking, you know, I didn't hear anyone talk about top 500 all day today.
Yeah, I would say this is the most kind of a yawner story that I've experienced since I've been covering supercomputing. I think it's just because people pay attention a lot to those top systems, and nothing really changed, although the K system got completed, so it's now 2 petaflops more.
But that's the only thing. Surprise, we knew that was coming.
We knew that was coming, and all the other systems didn't change at all. So
1 through 10, all the same, in the same order.
In the same order. So that's kind of amazing. But it's not like the system didn't have turnover. They added another nearly 20 petaflops of aggregate performance to that list. And I think that...
Oh, boring, 20 petaflops.
The number, right? The number 500 system now was the number 300 and some system just 6 months ago. So things are getting tossed off that list at a pretty good clip still, but...
And there are some interesting stories below that top 10. I mean, one of the more interesting new systems that wasn't there before is the Sunway system in China. That was all Chinese technology that you and I covered in our podcast a week or two ago when that was first announced. That came in number 14.
Number 14, right. The blue light system with their own domestic chips, right. We saw that come in, and I think we're going to see... one or two more of those systems over the next year. So, yeah, that was an interesting development then.
And you were saying there's other news with the Fujitsu architecture in terms of they're reselling it.
Right. So this isn't the K computer, which is the one at the top of the list, but it's basically their follow-on system that has the Spark9 chip in it. They commercialized basically the K computer architecture, and they added the next generation chip. And actually sold their first system to the University of Tokyo. And that's a big system. It's over 1 petaflop peak. And they just announced this on Monday just as the show opened. So that's a very ambitious plan by Fujitsu. Obviously, the Spark is not, you know, like we said before, it's not a volume solution in this space. But they intend to sell 50 of those over the next 3 years, which is a good clip. That's like more than one a month.
Yeah, yeah.
They expect to sell, and they said they're up to speed so far. They've sold one.
There's one this month.
And they're not going to ship till 2012, so they're sort of ahead of the game. They're building up their pipeline.
They sold one in negative 2 months.
If they can sell 50, I mean, people are going to notice that, but that seems aggressive to me. But they're going to sell outside Japan if they can.
Right. Fujitsu's still having big news, but everyone's clapping for Cray right now.
Right now, everybody's clapping for Cray, and yeah, that's a big thing. And we saw the keynote by Jensen, and he talked a lot about GPUs, and he thinks, you know, GPUs are going to take us to exascale. We got the briefing from Intel, and they think the Intel architecture is going to take us to exascale. And
chip wars, baby.
It's chip wars. It's everybody's heading in the same direction, but I don't think everybody can be at the top. So, you know, there's a little room at the top, but everybody looks really aggressive and they're really confident about their own architecture. So,
well, Michael, it's a pleasure sitting down halfway through the show talking to you. We're going to come back again on Friday and do our wrap-up podcast from Supercomputing. We'll have a couple other news stories and our winners and losers from the show.
I love it. Okay, that sounds good, Addison. We'll talk to you then.
All right, thanks, Michael. Good night.
Good night.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.